This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
He says the angel of death calls you, a calling of truth. Oh my companion, anta uridu anta, you, I intend you, no one but you. That's a calling by the angel of death. As the angel of death intends you, shaitan intends you as well. Do you think shaitan wants to lose when he's arrogant to his challenge, this challenge between him and Allah? Do you think he wants to lose when he has this attitude that Allah has described to us in the Quran and in Surah Al-A'raf? Do you think an arrogant person takes loss easily? Do you think he's going to give up on you? Do you think he's going to wait after Ramadan for a split moment for you to carry on upon the guidance and righteousness that you developed in Ramadan? Kalla, he's going to hit you at the first strike that he can. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rabbana afrigh alayna sabara wa tawaffana mu'minin. Subhanallah. Standout verse from today's recitation, the portion by Imam Suhaib, hafidhahullah. The people of Musa, as they were patient through the oppression and persecution of the Pharaoh, of Fir'aun. Rabbana afrigh alayna, O our Lord, open the floodgates of patience. Subhanallah. This is what they're saying. Afrigh alayna, meaning open the floodgates of patience upon us. Don't grant us patience, but open the floodgates of patience. وَتَوَفَّنَا مُؤْمِنِينَ, and take us to you as believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever make us forget our brothers and sisters in Gaza. Ameen. And the Rohingya. Ameen. And the oppressed of Kashmir. Ameen. And the oppressed all over the world. Ameen. Indeed, it is from Iman never to forget, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Tonight is the eighth night. And that means an entire week from the month of Ramadan has passed. Subhanallah. I just remember a few days ago, I said a tenth of the month has passed. Do you remember that? Felt like just day before yesterday I said this. Subhanallah. But that was when 3 nights and 3 days passed us. We've already doubled that number. 7 nights and 7 days has passed us. And before we know it, we will be welcoming the 21st night of Ramadan. The 10 best nights of the entire year. May Allah accept what has passed and forgive our mistakes therein and bless what remains and make this our best Ramadan ever. And may Allah not make this our last Ramadan. May He preserve us in His obedience and grant us many, many more Ramadans whilst we are upon good health and a good state of Iman. Ameen. Tonight we completed Surah Al-A'raf and we heard Hafidh Dhakir recite for us the final verses, in which there was a sajda. We prostrated. That was the end of Surah Al-A'raf. And we began Surah Al-Anfal. And as we began the recitation this evening, everything I taught you about yesterday when we discussed the introduction of Surah Al-A'raf applied. And remember, we said there were 14 stories in Surah Al-A'raf. And the theme of Al-A'raf, and Allah knows best, was in 3 phrases. You know, now act, and don't doubt. And we see this present in the verses that we recited this evening. And not just the verses, meaning outside of the stories that were revealed, but also the stories that were revealed. Because Allah mentions to us the most prominent of messengers, and the truth that they came with, and the attitude with their followers towards them, and how Allah dealt with them swiftly and justly. Their end is mentioned to us in the Quran. It's preserved in history. And Allah tells us to travel the lands, to the places that they once lived, and see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did with them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us into the longest story of the surah. The story of Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun. And in particular, Musa alayhi salam and his people. And what we discussed about Banu Israel on the first and second night, and predominantly the second night of Ramadan, when we discussed the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed those details to us, albeit in a different form of eloquence. Subhanallah. Now someone might say, but if it was mentioned in Baqarah, why do we have it in Al-A'raf? Remember, the Quran was revealed over a period of 23 and a half years. And we said Baqarah was from the Madani surahs, was revealed after migration. And Al-A'raf was revealed before migration. And maybe around, Allah knows best, definitely the latter part of the prophetic mission. But there were Muslims with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina that were not present in Mecca. And let's not forget, the Quran is coming down circumstantially as well. And the Muslims now in Medina were surrounded by tribes of Jews, tribes of Banu Israel, and they presented their own challenges to Medina, the Muslim city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals verses as a lesson to those who didn't know, and a reminder to those who knew. And for those who knew, these were not verses that they would read and feel that it is something repetitive. Rather, it's something they would read and feel inspired and empowered by. Subhanallah. Such is the nature of the Quran. We said yesterday at the beginning of Surah Al-A'raf, Allah set the platform, and that this surah is a surah confirming the other Meccan verses and the message of the Quran in totality, that the truth is something that stands by itself. And Allah reveals, فَلَا يَكُنْ فِي صَدْرِكَ حَرَجْ مِنْهُ لِتُنْظِرَ بِهِ وَذِكْرَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. After the disjointed letters, he said, this is a book revealed to you, O Muhammad. So let there not be in your heart distressed from the meanings of the verses that we are revealing to you, that you may warn thereby as a reminder to the believers. ذِكْرَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Yes, no doubt the disbelievers are receiving the messages of the Quran, but the Quran is also a reminder for the believers. A reminder for the believers. And remember what we said, you know, now act and don't doubt. In case you're doubting, here's the reminder. Don't doubt. Subhanallah. And the idea of tawakkul and placing your trust in Allah grows upon us as the verses of Al-A'raf grow upon us as well. Now, part and parcel of the lessons of Al-A'raf, and as we said, there's these mountains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to us in Al-A'raf. These obstacles between us and complete submission to Allah's will, between us and complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, between us and belief in Allah without any doubts. And we refer to them as these obstacles, as these mountains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He highlights for us all these obstacles, all these different mountains that we need to be aware of. And I said to you that we can summarize them in nine parts. The first mountain and obstacle, no doubt, has to be the obstacle of arrogance. And this is huge in the story of Musa alayhi salam and his people. And we discussed this on the second night, that they were with him with the platform of arrogance. This is who Banu Israel were. When he gave them, when they asked, and he asked Allah, and they got, what did they do? They debated. They argued. They were not satisfied. When Allah said them, when Allah gave them a blessed land to enter, they said, you go. You and your Lord go. We are here. When Allah gave them the Torah, we don't want to take the Torah. But then when they were threatened, then they took it. They were arrogant people. Arrogance, O servant of Allah, is a dangerous trait. And not only does Allah teach us this in the story of Musa, but He teaches us this in the first story of Al-A'raf, the story of Iblis and Adam alayhi salam, our father. For Allah honored Adam with the prostration of honor by the angels. But they were all commanded to, Iblis included, and Iblis didn't. And when Allah asked him, why did you not prostrate? What was his answer? أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. Simply, a statement of arrogance. I am better than him. I'm better than him. I'm made of superior substances. This is a weak creation. And remember, For those who don't know, the scholars of tafsir mentioned that Iblis had everything going for him. That there's not a place on earth except that Iblis worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon it. And this is why Allah honored Iblis to have a presence with the angels in the heavens. But then Iblis manifested this arrogance in front of his Lord. And what happened? That arrogance destined him to be from those who are doomed in eternity. His place is the hellfire. And the only reason why he exists is not because Allah honored him to exist. It's because he asked permission from Allah. أَنظِرْنِي إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ As we heard Hafiz Dhakir recite last night. قَالَ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ He says, Oh Allah, preserve me until the day of judgment. Because I will be on a mission to show you I'm superior than this creation of yours. To show you that I'm right and you're wrong. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ Ultimate arrogance to the Lord of the worlds. Allah is perfect from ever. And he's perfect forever. He says, إِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْظَرِينَ Done. You will be from the preserved until the day of Qiyamah. You won't die until that day. Go do what you want to do. But know and understand that those who follow you from this creation, لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمْ I will fill Jahannam with you, your kind, and their kind. أَجْمَعِينَ Without any exception. So arrogance, O servants of Allah, it is a dangerous trait to have. Where you deny the truth, even though you know it to be the truth. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba that no one will enter paradise if they have a mustard seed's worth of arrogance in their heart, they said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, Ya Rasulullah, but some of us, we like to have smart clothes, we like to dress smart and present ourselves smartly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is not what I'm talking about. But arrogance is batarul haqq wa ghamtun nas. Batarul haqq, you know it to be the truth, but you act like you don't know. And you argue with it. You try and rise over the truth. وَغَمْطِ النَّاسِ You look down upon people. You have this attitude of, I am better. And that's why jealousy is a very dangerous trait. It's connected to arrogance. And Iblis was arrogant because he was jealous. And jealousy is different to غِبْطَة. غِبْطَة is not sinful. When you wish you had something that Allah gave somebody else, but you don't wish that Allah takes it away from them. Hasad and jealousy is when you wish you had something somebody has and you hate that they have it. You want Allah to take it away from them. This is hasad. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that إِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارَ الْحَطَبِ That indeed jealousy eats away your good deeds. Just as fire eats away firewood. And this was known to the Sahaba. They would burn fire using logs. They would see what happens to the firewood. And this in Balagha is known as a taswir, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam paints an image in your head by running a parallel. That what fire does to firewood, that's what hasad does to your good deeds. That you worship Allah, you tire yourself, you wake up the night, you fast the Mondays, you fast the Thursdays, you give in charity, but you don't fix that in your heart. And as you're working, something else is working against you. There's an opposite force that's meeting your force. And an equilibrium is being reached. You're not moving forward. You're not growing from your labor. It's a labor of love. You love Allah. You're waking up. You're staying away from your food and drink whilst others eat and others sleep. But you have that in your heart. May Allah forgive us. And may Allah help us. We have to work on it, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, especially in this day and age where the dunya is shoved down our throats. And the corporate sphere, and what will make you understand how the corporate sphere is? Progress at any expense, even if it means taking the honor and credit of somebody else's work. And then, because of the nature of that sphere, we feel difficulty in our hearts to digest why someone else got the nod and we didn't get the nod. Why their name was called and our name wasn't called. Why their quota had better metrics, better readings than mine. And their KPIs were considered more successful than mine. And so on and so forth. This is a corporate matter. It's not a matter of the believer. The believer celebrates the success of another believer as if it's their own success. And mourns the loss of another believer as if it's their own loss. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spells for us this mountain in Surah Al-A'raf. Arrogance, jealousy, subhanallah. And Iblis thought he was higher, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what did he say? Because of his arrogance, Allah said, إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. Allah said, descend from paradise, for it is not for you to be arrogant therein. So get out, indeed you are from the debased, the belittled, subhanallah. That a person through his arrogance wants to big himself up or herself up, wants to walk in the stratosphere when they're supposed to walk with their feet on the ground. But to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're nothing high, they're everything low, subhanallah. Iblis wanted height, and Allah said to him, to him, you are from the debased. Arrogance, O servants of Allah, is not only part of two stories. It is the recurring theme in Surah Al-A'raf. When our imams were reading, subhanallah, I heard, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي. Right at the end of Surah Al-A'raf, Hafiz Dhakir is reading this, and I'm thinking, subhanallah, the first story is a story of arrogance, and the last verse in the Quran, in Surah Al-A'raf, in the Quran, indeed those who are near to Allah, to your Lord, are not prevented by arrogance. Subhanallah. The end of the story, the end of the surah is tied to the beginning of the surah. The first story of the surah, on the second page literally, is the story of arrogance. And the last verse of the surah, Allah says, لا يستكبرون عن عبادته. They are not known with any quality of arrogance. Those who are close to Allah, those who are near to your Lord, they are not prevented by arrogance. And Allah is teaching us here that arrogance prevents you, it locks you out. Allah says, what do they do? يُسَبِّحُونَ, they glorify Allah. وَلَهُ يَسْجُدُونَ, they prostrate, they take the highest, most honorable part of their body and they place it on the lowest part known to them, and that is the ground. For who? For Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, the one who's free from defects, who's the elevated, the most high. Subhanallah. The people of Iman and those who are humble, they take the most honorable part to them, their forehead. Today we give people our forehead to kiss, right? It's the most honorable part of our body. They take the most honorable part of their body and they put it on the lowest part known to them, the ground. For the sake of who? The highest of the high. Subhanah. I introduce you to the Quran. I am amazed as you are. Subhanallah. Jazakallah khair, Hafiz Dhakir, for reading that very eloquently today. Not only, subhanallah, is it at the end, but we saw this in the middle. Right in the middle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Subhanallah. Allah says, I will turn away from the arrogant my signs and my guidance. Subhanallah. In the middle of the surah, the beginning of the surah, story of arrogance. The middle of the surah, Allah telling you that these verses we are revealing will not reach the people who are arrogant. Allah will turn it away. Even if they hear it, Allah will turn it away. It won't enter their hearts. And at the end of the surah, Allah tells us about those who are near to Allah. They are near to Him because they are free of arrogance. One of the main reasons is they have no arrogance. A recurring theme. The biggest obstacle is arrogance. Again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from arrogance. Number two, having good thoughts about shaitan. Allah mentions this as the second obstacle, preventing us from Allah and total guidance. Believing in some capacity that shaitan doesn't intend you. Kalla, kalla. Shaitan intends you. Anta ant. He intends you and no one but you. You know, sometimes when a lecture is being given, we listen to the lecture, and what the khatib is saying applies to us, but we sit and think, subhanallah, I wish that brother was here to listen to this khutbah. Huh. We do that sometimes, right? Subhanallah. As if the khatib is talking to the person behind you, or the person to your right or your left. As if shaitan doesn't intend you. As if you are free from the plot and plan of shaitan. As if you are not involved in shaitan's daily execution. When he wakes up and he looks at his daily timetable, your name doesn't exist. O servant of Allah, shaitan intends you just like the angel of death intends you. If you know you're going to die, then you know the angel of death intends you. As Abu Ishaq al-Biri said, تَفُتُّ فُؤَادَكَ الْأَيَّامُ فَتَّى وَتَنْحِتُ جِسْمَكَ السَّعَاتُ نَحْتَى وَتَدْعُوكَ الْمَنُونُ دُعَاءَ صِدْقٍ أَلَا يَا صَاحِ أَنْتَ أُرِيدُ أَنْتَ. Subhanallah. He says the angel of death calls you, a calling of truth. Ala ya sahi, ya meaning ya sahibi, oh my companion, anta uridu anta, you, I intend you, no one but you. That's a calling by the angel of death. As the angel of death intends you, shaitan intends you as well. Do you think shaitan wants to lose when he's arrogant to his challenge, this challenge between him and Allah? Do you think he wants to lose when he has this attitude that Allah has described to us in the Quran and in Surah Al-A'raf? Do you think an arrogant person takes loss easily? Do you think he's going to give up on you? Do you think he's going to wait after Ramadan for a split moment for you to carry on upon the guidance and righteousness that you developed in Ramadan? Kalla, he's going to hit you at the first strike that he can. Cluster bombs. He will hit you indiscriminately. Subhanallah. So this Allah tells in Surah Al-A'raf is from the obstacles between us and Allah. When you give shaitan the benefit of the doubt, you do yourself a disservice. Allah says, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. He went to our father and mother and he said, I swear by Allah, indeed I am to you amongst the sincere advisors. This is what he did. If he did that to our parents, what about the children? Number three, the desires of the self and our private parts and the means towards them, which is nakedness. This is an obstacle between you and righteousness, between you and Allah. Allah says, Ya Bani Adam. Allah talks to the children of Adam, the believers and the disbelievers. قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسًا يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشًا. Hafiz Zakir recited this last night. We have bestowed upon you clothing to conceal your private parts and as adornment. Allah says, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. But the clothing of righteousness, that is the best righteousness. A person who has iman cannot expose that which iman wants you to cover. And that is a means towards lewd activities and immorality. And that is a big obstacle between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obstacle number four, following your elders and cultures blindly. The elders said, it's our culture. When the children want to get married, we put the culture in front of the sunnah. When we have our Eid gatherings, we put the culture in front of the sunnah. We spent the whole month asking Allah, accept our month, accept our month, accept our month. And then the day of Eid, which is a day of celebration, the khatib stands and says, oh, you who believe, fear Allah once, fear Allah twice, fear Allah thrice. Why? Because you're about to go home and go against the sunnah and put your culture in front of. If you went against the sunnah, knowing that it's wrong what I'm doing, that's a different matter. But when you go against the sunnah, believing, no, there's nothing wrong. When you hike the mahar, when the Prophet said, facilitate the marriages of your children. But it's because of your culture. And what will the people say if they know I got my daughter married for this mahar? What will the people say? What will the people think? What will the people, oh servant of Allah and child of Adam, what will your Lord say and what will your Lord think? Does that not matter? Are you a seasonal believer? When it suits you, I'm a believer. When it doesn't suit you, make dua. Huh? Make dua. It's like they say, after Jumu'ah you tell the brother, brother, next week will we see you for Jumu'ah? He says, astaghfirullah. Of course. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Of course I'll be here. I say, tayyib, my brother. Will I see you for Salatul Asr just now in a couple hours? He say, make dua. Inshallah. Huh? Inshallah. Allah says, قَالَ ادْخُلُوا فِي أُمَمٍ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ فِي النَّارِ. Allah tells about this. They followed the elders. The elders went into the hellfire. The people who followed them followed. Allah says, enter among nations. And this is what will happen on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will say to those who followed the elders in misguidance, enter among the nations which had passed on before you from jinn and mankind into the fire. Allah says, every time a nation enters it, it will curse its sister. It will curse the sister. You know the elders? It will curse the elders. You know the culture? It will curse the founders of that culture. Why? Because they will say it's this culture and it's these elders, Ya Allah, who led me to be here. Surah Al-A'raf highlights this to us. Obstacle number five, immoral and corrupt environments. Allah says, وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ وَالَّذِي خَبُثَ لَا يَخْرُجُ إِلَّا نَكِدًا. Allah says, and the good land, its vegetation emerges by the permission of its Lord. But that which is bad, nothing emerges except sparsely and with difficulty. Thus do we diversify the signs for a people who are grateful. Allah is talking about lands. The scholars of tafsir say this applies across the spectrum of life. When the land is pure, the fruits are fresh and ripe and pure. The harvest is abundant. When the system is pure, when the governance is pure, when the mind is pure, when the heart is pure, the harvest is pure. The harvest is abundant as well. This is how you deduce. When Allah reveals to you a matter and you deduce it onto another matter. Such is the richness and eloquence of the Quran. And obviously you do this through looking at the verses before it and the verses after it to understand context. And it is said once, Allah knows how true it is. I came across the story. There was a sharp Muslim child in a university and he had an atheist professor. And the atheist said to this Muslim that the Muslims claim that the Quran has the answers to everything. So the Muslim student said, the Muslims don't claim. Allah said that in the Quran. Allah said it in the Quran. That the Quran has answers to everything. So he had a bald head. And he said, explain to me the reason for my bald head. And the student recited. He said, yes, there's a verse about this. وَالْبَلَدُ الطَّيِّبُ يَخْرُجُ نَبَاتُهُ بِإِذْنِ رَبِّي. He said, when the earth is fertile, then... Obviously, he was referring to his heart. The fact that you can ask this question means there's an infertile heart there. So questions like this, rotten questions like this, come when the land is infertile. Allahul Musta'an. Okay, you get the picture. Obstacle number 6, impatience and hastiness. As we see in the story of Musa. قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ اسْتَعِينُوا بِاللَّهِ وَاصْبِرُوا. Musa said to his people, they were complaining, أُوذِينَا مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَأْتِيَنَا وَمِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جِئْتَنَا. Oh Musa, before you came, we were being persecuted. After you came, we're being persecuted. Nothing's changed. This is acting in haste. No doubt the persecution of Fir'aun was long. No doubt. And that's why I said, the people of Gaza, they're swallowing up Surah Al-Imran. They're swallowing up the story of Musa and Fir'aun. They know. When you see them, and why are they still carrying on? Why are they still patient? Why are they still accepting? Because they understand these stories more than you and I. They know the intricate details, the timelines, the length of the persecution, and what they said to their people. They don't want in any capacity to resemble these people who act in haste and complain. They said to Musa, "Ista'inu bi," but they complained to Musa. Musa said to them, "Seek assistance from Allah and be patient. Indeed, the earth belongs to Allah. These lands belong to Allah. Allah causes who He wills to inherit from it when He wills. His servants will get it when the time is right. And the best outcome is for the righteous." It's Allah's plan. Trust Allah's plan. Be patient. You just have a pixel, Allah has the picture. Every day you're patient, Allah gives you a pixel. And another pixel. And another pixel. The more pixels you capture, now you can start seeing the picture. But if you just have a pixel and you try to understand the picture, you'll understand a million things and it's got nothing to do with what the picture actually is. You cause yourself undue stress. Be patient. Collect the pixels. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about this qawm. We have to ponder. Don't just read these stories as story time. Think, what's going on here? Subhanallah, Allah is revealing to us an obstacle between us and Him. Being impatient. Obstacle number 7. Leaving being an adversary against evil. You stop doing da'wah. You stop doing da'wah. You say, what's the point of doing da'wah? Khalas, the situation is what it is. It's long gone. That's it. Subhanallah. We heard today in the Taraweeh, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ. It's like Allah is talking to us, subhanallah. Allah is talking to us, subhanallah. It's the Quran, He's talking to us. Honestly, these verses, you think, subhanallah, it's as if they're being revealed now. Allah says in His book, وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِذُونَ قَوْمًا إِلَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. When a community amongst them said, why are you doing da'wah and warning a people who are about to receive Allah's punishment? The punishment is coming. There's no hope. There's no point in giving them da'wah. It's done. What did they say? قَالُوا, the du'at, the people who were doing the da'wah, they said, مَعَذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. He says, we're going to carry on doing it to be absolved before Allah. To be absolved before Allah. And that way we may remain from those who fear Allah. Ma'adhiratan, we'll have an excuse with Allah. Hey Allah, we carried on. The punishment came, but we carried on. We never stopped. Yes, you destined them to be punished, but you never told us to stop doing the da'wah. And in earlier tarawees, we read what led to the downfall of Banu Israel. ذَلِكْ كَانُوا لَا يَتَنَاهَوْنَ عَمْ مُنْكَرْ فَعَلُوا. As our imams recited, Hafidh Hamdala, I believe. That they stopped warning against evil. And then a time came where they started practicing the evil themselves. When you warn against it, the sensitivity. When you stop warning against it, the sensitivity decreases. And it decreases and decreases until you practice it like it's nothing. After Ramadan, you might see a sister without hijab and you'll feel strange. Subhanallah. It happens. I remember when I first went to study in Saudi Arabia, the first year, we only knew the university. It's all males. Students, admin, all males. And I remember now, 9 months later, we traveled home. I got onto a flight and the air hostess, I felt uncomfortable. 9 months just seeing brothers, subhanallah, you lose, your sensitivity meter goes higher. Right? But then what happens? As the flight carries on, the sensitivity meter goes down, down, it becomes normal. So this is what happens when you leave da'wah. This is an obstacle. Leaving da'wah is an obstacle between you and Allah. Number 8, not growing from your knowing and not putting knowledge into action. Hafiz recited today, Dhakir. وَاتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْغَاوِينَ وَلَوْ شِئْنَا لَرَفَعْنَاهُ بِهَا وَلَكِنَّهُ أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ إِنْ تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْهِ يَلْهَثْ أَوْ تَتْرُكُ يَلْهَثْ ذَلِكَ مَثَلُ الْقَوْمِ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا فَاقْصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Allah says, recite to them, O Muhammad, the news of him who we gave guidance to, knowledge to, we revealed our signs to, but then he peeled away. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. Insilakh is to peel away. When you peel, it doesn't happen quick. Slowly but surely, he started detaching himself from the guidance of Allah. Slowly but surely. He didn't go from 100 to 0 in one step. He slowly went from 100 to 0. He peeled himself away. And when Shaytan saw that, he took his opportunity and pursued him. And at the end of that pursuance, he became from the deviators. Allah says, وَلَوْ شِئْنَا, had we willed, we could have elevated him thereby, by the knowledge we gave him. If he practiced it, we would have raised him. We would have preserved him. We would have improved him. But he became a victim of time. أَخْلَدَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. He became a victim of the life of this world. The world swallowed him. The temporary consumed him. He started living as if there's no end, forgetting that there's a grave whilst knowing there's a grave. And this is heedlessness. This is heedlessness. And Allah after that tells us about heedlessness. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. Straight after this, our Hafiz recited it. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. Allah says, we have created for the hellfire many from the mankind and the jinn. Why? They have hearts that are spiritual, that are physically alive but spiritually dead. They don't understand. And they have ears that can physically hear but spiritually are deaf. And they have eyes that physically see but spiritually are blind. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ. These people are like cattle. Allah says, بَلْهُمْ أَضَلْ. They're worse than cattle. Cattle are better than them because they have the thinking faculty. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They're from the heedless. Obstacle number 9, not contemplating the events of life properly. Allah says, أَوَلَمْ يَتَفَكَّرُوا مَا بِصَاحِبِهِمْ مِنْ جِنَّةِ. Then do they not give thought, there is in their companion Muhammad no madness, he is not but a clear warner. Contemplate life, O servants of Allah. So this, what I've shared with you are 9 obstacles. I'm going to run through very quickly the 9 antidotes that we see in Surah Al-A'raf. No evidences, I'm just going to give it to you. Number 1, dua, and dua using Allah's names and attributes. One of the verses in the Quran, there's 4 verses in the Quran, and I discussed this in the sisters program this afternoon, that tell us about Allah's names being beautiful. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. One of them is in Surah Al-A'raf. Allah says, this is the prescription, remember, the prescription to the disease. The solution to the obstacle. Number 1, making dua to Allah and how? Using His names and attributes. And not just dua to Allah using His names and attributes, but worshipping Him using His names and attributes. When you stand up in salah, you stand up knowing Allah sees me. When you recite, Allah hears me. When you make dua, you call out to Allah using the names connected to what you need. You want forgiveness? Oh, the one who forgives, forgive me. You want mercy? Oh, the owner of mercy, have mercy on me. You want sustenance? Oh, the one who sustains, give me sustenance. This is number 1. The prescription and solution number 1. Number 2, ikhlas, and at the highest form. When I say ikhlas at the highest form, I mean you live your life and build it up to a level where no one has ownership of you except your Lord. No one controls you except Him. You don't speak except for Him. You don't move except for Him. You don't remain silent except for Him. You don't sit except for Him. You grow your life to that level. You turn your needle in terms of you and your sincerity up and to a stage where no one has ownership of you except your Lord. Subhanallah. We see this in ayah number 188 of Surah Al-A'raf. قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِ نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Number three, the third prescription, good character. And we said this is big in the Meccan verses. People might say, how come? Meccan verses, you said, is for Allah to establish Tawheed. That makes sense. Is for Allah to establish the messenger being from Allah. That makes sense. Is for Allah to establish life after death. That makes sense. Is for Allah to establish the Quran from Allah. That makes sense. But then Shaykh, you said, from the themes of the Meccan verses is good character. Good character, shouldn't that be Madani later on? No. Good character is fundamentally important. Why? Because each and every one of you here, you carry a portion of the legacy of the greatest messenger that walked the face of this earth. There's no prophet after him. You are his workers. You are the you preserve his legacy. If your character isn't correct, then people will not take what you have to say. If I give you a pure bottle of water, but the container is dirty, and I promise you the water inside is from the Alps, subhanallah. But just by me, a virtue of the bottle being dirty, will you drink it? Will you believe me? You'll doubt me. The speed of light is faster than the speed of sound. People see you before they hear you. If they don't like what they see, they will not give you time for that which you want them to hear. Remember this, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Good character is an obstacle between you. Good character is an antidote to the obstacles that prevent us from our Lord and complete guidance. This is in Surah Al-A'raf. خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأَمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ Ayah number 199. طيب, number four. Fourth prescription. Patience. Obviously, we said acting in haste is an obstacle. The opposite is patience. And we mentioned the verse. Prescription number five. Constant istighfar and seeking protection in Allah from shaytan. وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ Allah says, and if an evil suggestion, whisper comes to you from shaytan, seek refuge in Allah. Shaytan whispers to you something evil, say, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا Again, Surah Al-A'raf, verse and the verse thereafter. Indeed, the people of taqwa, إِذَا مَسَّهُمْ طَائِفٌ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ When shaytan just touches him, shaytan just touches her, It's not a voice, it's a whisper. تذكروا, they remember Allah. They remember the names of Allah. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْصِرُونَ Immediately they become guided. Shaytan meets them with a steel wall. They make shaytan's job harder for shaytan. Shaytan knows this person does not see me as a friend. This person sees me as an enemy. Subhanallah. طيب. The next prescription. تدبر. Tafakkur, pondering over the creation of Allah and the revelation of the Quran. As Allah says, وَقَالَ مُوسَى يَا فِرْعُونَ إِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ Musa said to Pharaoh, I am a messenger from the Lord of the worlds. حَقِيقٌ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا أَقُولَ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقِّ It's obligatory upon me not to say about my Lord except the truth. Let us submit that what we have and what we hear in the Taraweeh is the haqq. And the only thing that's left now is for us to ponder over it. This is the prescription to overcoming the obstacles. طيب, that was prescription number six. Prescription number seven, abandon dhikr. And we spoke about this, that dhikr is the only ibadah in the Quran that Allah commands us to after worship. Worship after worship. Dhikr. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعُ وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْآصَالِ Subhanallah. Right at the end of Surah Al-A'raf. And remember your Lord within yourself in humility, meaning in secret, privately, where people don't know you're doing so. And in fear, without being apparent in speech, in the mornings and in the evenings. If you want it to be spelled out for you, here Allah is spelling out for you. Say, Ya Allah, how do you want me to remember you? The verse is spelling it out. Openly, hiddenly, preferably, hiddenly, during the day, during the night, beginning of the day, end of the day. Allah wants this from you. This is a prescription to the disease. Number eight, da'wah. If leaving da'wah is an obstacle, then da'wah is the solution. And we see this. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِذُونَ We mentioned the ayah. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ وَأَخَذْنَا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا بِعَذَابٍ بَئِيسٍ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ Towards the middle of Surah Al-A'raf. And when they forgot that by which they had been reminded, we saved those who had been forbidden. So those who had been working against the evil, Allah says, we saved them. When the punishment came, who did we save? Those who are working against the evil. the du'at, the people of da'wah. Number 9, worship, and especially salah. We spoke about worship and dhikr. Worship and especially salah. In fact, in the last verse, what did we do? We prostrated. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ إِنَّ رَبِّكَ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ إِبَادَتِي وَيُسَبِّحُونَ وَلَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ. They prostrate. That is part of the salah. And when a person came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to be with you in Jannah. What did he say? أَعِنِّي عَلَى نَفْسِكَ بِكَثْرَةِ السُّجُودِ. Help me to help you by increasing your prostrations. Increase your prostrations and I will try and help you be with me in Jannah. And that's why I try. We spoke about compounding intentions in the beginning of Ramadan. So that your intention, your sujood is times 3. If you intended 3 salahs from it, for those salahs that can be compounded. If you come into the masjid and you see there's 4 minutes for the imam to begin, don't just stand and wait for the imam. Pray 2 rak'ah, even if you shorten it. Because you will get 4 sujood that will count on your scales on the day of Qiyamah for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to use to help you. Sometimes you come to the masjid, people are standing and they're looking around and waiting for the imam to come. Why? Because, you know, tahiyyatul masjid, I have to pray before I sit, salah is going to start. Pray a shortened prayer rather than standing. This is good for you. Khair, inshallah. So these are 9. And thereafter, we ended the surah and went to Suratul Anfal. Suratul Anfal, inshallah, you will hear about tomorrow. Because tomorrow will be the completion to Suratul Anfal. And then Suratul Tawbah will begin. But very quickly, it's a Madani surah. So from the Meccan, we back to the Madinan. It was revealed after Hijrah. And it consists of 75 verses. And it's suitable to Suratul A'raf. In that in Suratul A'raf, Allah mentions 14 stories. And those stories concerned the famous prophets of Allah and their people's attitude towards them. Suratul Anfal about the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the attitude of his followers with him. Subhanallah. Total different scheme. Because this is the surah that covers the battle of Badr. And the scholars say this is the surah of struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in it do we have the rules. Subhanallah. And there are rules about warfare and struggling in the path of Allah and what Allah accepts from us. The etiquettes He expects from us. The values He expects from us. The do's that He wants us to complete. The don'ts that He wants us to stay away from. We see this all in Suratul Anfal. Why is it called Anfal? يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ. The answer is at the beginning of the surah. They ask you, O Muhammad, concerning the spoils of war. For the first time it happened. Badr happened and they had spoils. They had wealth. They left all the Muhajirun left their wealth in Mecca and the Quraysh took it. And for the first time they had some wealth. What do we do with this? They went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You see how they went to the messenger? What do we do today? Today we pull the trigger, we enter the investment, we do the deal, and then we go to the sheikh afterwards and put a mountain of problems on his head to solve for us. They didn't touch the ghanima, they didn't touch the spoils of war. Let's go to the sheikh. The ultimate sheikh, the ultimate teacher, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ. Allah revealed, they're asking you concerning the anfal. قُلِ الْأَنْفَالُ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. Tell them that it's for Allah and His Rasul. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. Concentrate and focus on developing your relationship with Allah and preserving the bonds between yourself. That's your focus. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about financial standing and material well-being. This is not the time. Allah is the one who provides. We need you to be together. We need you to be strong. We don't need your hearts being busy with this wealth. And then who gets more and who gets less? There's battles to come. If you are not together, how will you be together in the battlefield? And that is why in the surah Allah says, unite. If you don't, you will decimate. Your bonds will break. You will be weakened. And the enemy will overcome you. Inshallah, you'll hear this when the mashayikh discuss this, inshallah. We have, alhamdulillah, Ustaz Yusuf who's with us. And we have Sheikh Ridwan and our imam as well, mashallah, who will be, inshallah, with you over the next few nights whilst I travel. And they will take you through this. So, you will because it's a Madani surah, there's much of legislation in, but unique legislation. Legislation related to warfare and struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It indeed isn't for the faint-hearted. But mashallah, it only builds within us love for the Sahaba to understand who they were, what they gave up for this deen. And they didn't look back. They were, even when Allah revealed this, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, they said, that's it. You said it's for Allah and His Rasul, that's it, done. We had hope, but it's done. Allah revealed, the Rasul said, Allah said, we believe that he speaks about Allah in truth. We will not question him and we will not doubt the wisdom of the Lord. They left the wealth for Allah and his Rasul, for Allah and his Rasul to decide how it will be distributed. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, with that we come to the end of these sessions. Not the end, which is a full stop, just a comma. These sessions with myself, but as I said, alhamdulillah, it's going to continue with other very capable people. Walillahi alhamd. And inshallah, I hope, or the plan is, and we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the plan, that He preserves us all in His obedience. And He doesn't prevent us from seeing each other's faces, mashallah. I ask Allah to protect me from losing one of you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never to make me stop seeing your wonderful faces. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. The idea, inshallah, is that I will be back, bi'idhinlahi ta'ala, for the 21st or the 22nd of Ramadan. And then, bi'idhinlahi ta'ala, if you allow, I will assume the minbar and then we will go through whatever ajza remain of the Quran. At this juncture, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the family of Al-Quran, to make us from the family of As-Sab' Al-Tiwal. We covered the seven long surahs over the course of our time together. And Al-Fal is after the seven long surahs. And there's a lesson to the seven long surahs and the different classification of surahs. Perhaps at another time we can discuss that, subhanallah. Allah blessed us to finish the seven long surahs together. May Allah make us from the family of the seven long surahs, the guidance of the seven long surahs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the family of Al-Fatiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our past, inspire our futures, accept our week that has passed of Ramadan, our fasting, our standing, our recitation of His book. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our slips. We might have said something we didn't intend. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us for that. We may have looked at something that we didn't want to and quickly realized and calibrated our eyes. May Allah forgive us for that slip. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower upon us His mercy and only take us from strength to strength with the days and nights that remain until the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And may Allah shower upon us two ultimate prizes. The first being the prize of Laylatul Qadr, and the second being freedom from the hellfire forever. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Hada wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuhu.